Good morning, everyone. It's morning for us. It's not a nice blue sky morning as we had the pleasure of experiencing the past days.
This is the first day I've seen where it's actually like gray and cloudy. But I want to thank the gray and cloudy day because for the first time I have slept well.
Dr. Buffer got some sleep. Oh, finally. God.
Every morning I was waking up at 6:30, 7 in the morning, bright light, unable to sleep, and just lying in bed.
Yeah. Yeah, finally. It's so important to catch up on sleep. It caught up to everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. World is pretty much about trying to catch the sleep that you know you're not going to get. Yeah. And you're not going to get it. If you're really experiencing worlds, you're not going to get 8-9 hours of sleep a night.
No, it's not. No, I've completely given up by that point. I was talking to Ned about it because we always talk about our equipment and faster camera cards like CF cards, CFast cards, XKD cards. And at this point, investing in a fast card to unload all your data by the end of the night is like an investment in your health.
Basically. Yeah.
I mean, it's like it gives me an hour more sleep for the night. I gladly take it. And I pay for that hour of sleep, obviously. Because these cards are pretty expensive.
Yeah.
But it's worth it, yeah.
Yeah, for you, there's just the physical limitation of how long does it take to copy all of this stuff.
And then copy it again and make backups. And,
yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's how it goes.
That's how it goes, yeah.
We're here at breakfast. Another day of lifting.
Behind us is sitting a man who's, I don't know, not quite that known in weightlifting, I think. He's a former coach of Matthias Steiner.
Wow.
And he's now with the Qatar team, coaching Maystone. So he just told me today, first of all, we have the 96 kilograms A session with Tiantao, Maysor Sona, Sorab Moradi. It's so stacked.
Oh my god, like every class, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But this class in particular.
This class in particular.
Tiantao, I don't know what he weighs, but obviously, you know, he's going up from the 85s.
Yeah.
He looks like somebody just hung slabs of beef off his frame.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
I mean, arms like legs, legs like men, as they say, right? And it's definitely true for those guys. But didn't you say that yesterday when the builds couldn't be more different for these guys? Like Sorab Moradi and Tiantao.
Sorab Moradi, who is a tank, a powerhouse, obviously. I mean, we saw...
A 205 snatch recently in training.
Exactly. In training here, but...
We should point it out. Not in
training
here.
Video, yeah.
In Iran, yeah.
But he looks... he looks thick, but he's got his little power belly. He looks like, could be an office worker or something.
Yeah.
He's obviously ridiculously strong, whereas Tiantao looks like Liu Xiaoxun if Liu Xiaoxun ate Liu Xiaoxun while doing push-ups.
Yeah.
Phenomenal physique.
Phenomenal. And so I was talking to the coaches briefly when I grabbed my coffee here in the hotel breakfast, and they said obviously Maysor Sona on the start list, Faris Elbach still can't compete in the snatch with the guys, so he just does his thing, slow and methodical, just get your lifts in, don't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal. Maybe do a best still, but of course in a clean jerk they're hoping for a medal.
Mm-hmm.
They have a chance to get a medal if things are in their favor.
Yeah.
Obviously there's some luck involved. I mean, if you go up against those beasts, and we know what Tiantao can clean, and it's a lot.
Yeah.
Sorab, obviously.
Moradi.
Yeah. So it's really about who gets the bronze, and it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Well, like you said, there's some luck involved. We've seen some big bomb outs.
That's right.
And that can move the podium around. Or also, it's a cliche, I keep saying it on the broadcast, but like, you have to make your lifts here. You can't just stroll in, go 2 for 6, and end up on the podium because there's like 3-4 other guys who are within 5 kilos striking distance.
Exactly.
And if they make their lifts, that's it.
The Armenian way is not the way.
No, that's not
working
here.
2 for 6, not enough. Yeah.
But also, trying to decide whether we go to the mall today because Like you said, Gregor, it's the first rainy day here.
Yeah, it's not raining right now. But actually, Dr. Boff and I went to the mall yesterday and had one of the... Did we mention it? That we had one of the best coffees.
We might have mentioned it, but it's worth mentioning again.
Within the... Since we arrived here.
Oh, yeah. It's the best coffee since I arrived.
The best coffee. Really nice coffee shop. Has all the hipster coffee variations you could ask for. Looks really nice. Yeah. And after that, a bunch of people... I posted it to my personal Instagram story. And I got a bunch of people messaging me about inquiring where this place is, how do they get
really?
There. Yep, and Keanu Elliott went, some people from Spain went, had a great time. So
maybe
if only we should have known earlier.
If we had known earlier, maybe we had known earlier, gotten a little sponsorship from the restaurant.
Oh man.
I don't even remember what the name of the cafe was.
I think it was the little thing where they put the glasses on was called, I had like an engravement that said S.A. Coffee.
Sa Coffee.
Sa Coffee, yeah.
Okay.
I guess that's the name. If you're ever in Turkmenistan, if you're ever like stopping by in Ashgabat.
If you just happen to be in Ashgabat, Turkmenistan.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. 5 stars. Would come again. Yeah.
Well, if Ashgabat ends up hosting the Olympic Games at some point, you might find yourself in that mall.
I'll be back, yeah, for sure.
That's about all we got right now.
Yeah, our brains are pretty empty, I think. At this point. I mean, mine is at least. I'm glad Dr. Boffer got some sleep, and because he has to talk to millions of people on the broadcast.
Semi-coherently.
Which so far, how would you rate yourself so far, your performance here?
Rate myself on the broadcast? It's a good question. I think I've had moments of a solid performance. I think, you know, day one, Sean, JP, and I were all sort of feeling the flow out. Mm-hmm. It had been a while since we commented together. It had been since last year's World Championships. But after we got one session out, I think the cobwebs were sort of shaken loose, and I felt pretty good. I think I've had moments where I was like, yeah, that's a solid performance. Hmm. But other moments where I'm like, I can keep working at it. I mean, as broadcasting, I'm realizing is a real skill and an art.
It is.
And like anything, you have to really practice it. You have to think about your audience, which consists of weightlifting fans, but also lots of people who aren't weightlifting fans.
Yeah.
And balancing that is actually quite tricky while respecting the bounds of the broadcast and each lifter, because you don't want to talk over an athlete.
Right, and it's really, really difficult. So if you ever talked shit about a commentator on a broadcast, I mean, obviously we can agree there are bad commentators for some classes. At some competitions, but not here. It's a really difficult skill because you're not only talking, at the same time you talk, you're listening to the feedback from, what is it called?
The producer.
The producers, yeah. They give you commands, they tell you, oh, you've got 20 seconds to wrap that thought up.
Yeah.
And what I've been hearing from JP and Sean, you do a very good job at like being on the clock when it comes to wrapping thoughts up. And
it's so hard.
It's so hard.
So you have
the pressure. How do you not?
I'm on the edge, Greg.
I have trouble right now gathering my thoughts on this like freeform podcast. And
so I imagine as you're trying to do that, gather your thoughts, you have someone in your ear literally just saying 10, 9, 8, and you know that you have to wrap up your thought coherently.
Yeah.
And ideally give a little sign off, say something to indicate that we're at the end of the broadcast by the time you hit one. And you also want to try to hit that mark without 5 seconds of dead air remaining or something. Yeah. You want to be wrapping up at 2 or 1.
And probably the hardest part is, I could imagine, you can confirm this already, nice. It's probably hard to, on the clock, get a Tenacity reference in. How difficult is that?
It's extremely difficult. Every single day I'm just thinking, I gotta squeeze in Tanir Sajir.
Okay.
I've got 10 seconds to close up the session, mention my favorite lifter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm curious to know what other people think of how I've been doing and how all three of us have been doing. There's been some really positive feedback online about the broadcast in general. So hopefully people are enjoying the commentating as well.
So for all the listeners, what do you think about the commentating, if you've seen it, which I hope you do? I'll personally rewatch most of the sessions. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And you know, that sort of stuff helps the broadcaster, because the broadcaster, they're really open to, they're actually really proactively open to ideas, to improving the way the broadcast is done. And I mean, the limitations are the competition, and you don't, I don't know that you get this when you're watching a broadcast after it's live, but it's so fast. You have no, as a broadcaster, like, you want to squeeze in good human interest stories, you want to squeeze in the back and forth, you want to squeeze in everything you can, but there's no, the competition just moves way too, it's not like football where you can have
it's
all
like
these
a freight
stops.
Train, it can't be stopped.
It's seriously, yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, every now and then you get lucky and you get like a tech stop, and that gives you some time, but then you also want to respect the story of the tech stop. And, you know, you never want to disrespect an athlete and cut off their replay, for example, or shortchange them on the platform, wherever they are in the standing. And so it's really, it's tricky to squeeze in anything else to the broadcast. But I have to say, they're really open to making it even better and to telling the story in a way that is appealing to even more people. So they've been amazing to work with. And they work so, everyone in that crew works so hard.
And what's the broadcasting company called again?
I've heard it pronounced Lagardère. It's a
Lagardère.
French company.
Lagardère.
Lagardère.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, all of them say it Lagardère or something like that. So it's, yeah, it's a French company. They're a huge company. And we worked with them before. For Anaheim and in Houston.
Well, they did Houston as well.
They did Houston as well, yeah. Houston was the first time that I worked with them. But they're fantastic. And yeah, all, they're all like really just good people too. A number of them we've worked with before. And then a lot of the camera guys here are new. They're brought in from, a lot of them are Welsh, I think. And they're just, it's a cool bunch.
They're really nice too. Maybe, should we talk about the cameras?
They let us play with the camera.
They let us play with these expensive broadcasts.
Expensive does it. Expensive is, does
it's
it
an
do
understatement. I thought my little lens, I buy all my camera gear used, obviously, to save some money. I thought I paid a fair amount of money. It was kind of expensive. Then we looked up the prices, the individual prices for these huge TV cameras. And just the lens, which is a 9.3 to 800 millimeter at fixed aperture 1.7 lens, is $222,000 on B&H Photo right now.
$222,000. Let that sink in.
And with a bunch of those sitting at the venue. And
yeah. I mean, I don't know how many there are, but there's four or five or so.
Just a fluid head to keep, to pan, to do the smooth pans and all that stuff is $15,000.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing equipment. We got to play with it. You can zoom insanely fast with them. You can punch in so fast, the motors are so precise. And then there's like, you have a little focus rocker with your right hand. And on your left, you do the zoom with your thumb. It's really, it's really special.
You've kind of got like motorcycle style control.
It is like motorcycle.
Yeah, it's like these handles that are like motorcycle handlebars. And on the left, like Gregor said, you sort of twist one way or the other to zoom in and out. And by zoom, you know, we mean like you go from a super wide shot that will show you the whole venue, including judges, jury table, and everything, to zooming in so far you can read the tiny lettering on the plates on the other side of the competition platform.
It's ridiculous. It's like they brought in Hubble Space Telescope.
But they were cool. They were like, yeah, guys, get on there, play with it.
The guy next to me who does the slow-mo recordings, he's called Leo, and he got me food the other day. He was like, hey, Gregor, you need some food? Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm starving.
Man.
Got me some food. And even did so the next day without asking. I mean, couldn't ask for a nicer guy.
They're super nice people. They're all super nice. They're really great.
They're funny too. They make like really funny jokes in between attempts. Like the cameramans among each other. Yeah. Like when they hear something crazy on their headphones, they like turn around and then they dance or something. It's like, it's pretty funny.
It seems like a cool group. I don't know how much. I think a lot of them came from, they don't work for Lagardère. Like they're not employed by them. I think they're hired for the job. I don't know this for sure. But I think a number of them do work for another company together, so I think they know each other in some instances.
Looks seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, they seem very, very collegial and very friendly amongst each other.
But yeah, Adam and Leo, if you hear this, those are the guys showing us who worked this. Thank you for showing us the cameras.
Yeah,
it was a pleasure.
Cool. All right, let's get back to breakfast. Wait, we got more.
We got
hot info coming in on the wire.
Ned Aram just messaged me. just getting up now, went to sleep at like 4:30 a.m.
For context,
smiley, smiley.
It's 10:10 right now, so he's just getting up right now.
All right, maybe if we turn this thing back on, Ned will be on again. Yeah. But I think Ned is also pretty good on the podcast. Like his references, he's so solid with all the numbers, it's amazing.
Yeah, probably you know among the best I've encountered in the sport. So.
Like, he's a database. I love it. And with that, take us out, Doctor.
Yeah, I need someone counting in my ear. 10, 9. We'll see everyone later.
7.
Breakfast
6,
time.
5.
It's very, very informal. Yeah.
It's
running right now, and we already start. Hello, listeners. We're back again. And we're still at breakfast. It's the same day. And we are joined by... Why don't you introduce yourself? Who you are, what's your name, and what do you do here in Ashgabat?
Magid Salama.
Yeah.
I work like a technical expert in IWF.
Mm-hmm.
I coming here to talk about subject in seminar.
Yeah, you give scientific seminars.
Yes, yeah. I give seminar in 3rd of November for the coaches. I talk about the training loads and its effect to development to the result for the athletes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was very interesting the subject. Yeah.
Oh, there's lots to talk about, I guess.
Yeah. So are there some findings or some things you can share from that?
I cannot do that because my my book now in process of issue.
It's a book being published.
Really?
Yes.
Can you talk about your book?
Yes, because all the people say now that my data is the science for our sport now. Okay. Yes.
What will the book be called?
The training loads in weightlifting.
The training loads in weightlifting.
Yes, but it will be talking about from beginning in weightlifting how to teach the skill and the definition for physical fitness elements in weightlifting is a big subject that you take these physical fitness elements and explain in weightlifting. Nobody have this. And I did this, and after this start slowly for the next step to training program for the junior after technical learning for youth under 17, 4 years. And after this started to work in the junior system, and after this for senior.
Wow. This is amazing. Is it in English or German?
In English. First, we have to do in English, and maybe it will be translated with different language after this.
And for the listeners, you should tell the listeners, right now you hear, also I see you in the back a lot of times, Meisu Hassouna
from
Qatar. But before that, you've been a coach of quite a prominent figure in especially German weightlifting and Austrian weightlifting back in the day.
I was the coach of Steiner Matthias. Steiner Matthias, I made him. I take him a boy, 17 years old. His result was 130 snatch, 160 clean and jerk. And his impression and his hope in the life that he do 145 snatch, 185 clean and jerk. Really. I told him, why, Matthias, it was your hope? Because it is a possibility in our country, in Austria. No, you don't have anybody can bring us for high technical level or high result. But he was a very good boy. In this time, he worked hard with me. And he get medals in junior with me and did 400 total in junior to Austria. It's a big record in total junior.
The record still stands in Austria.
Yes, still the record with his name. And he did 410 with me in this category, 405.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very, very good boy. But some things running there in the federation. And 2005, I gave him to German.
Thank you very much. As a German, Steiner was being and is still being celebrated as one of the big figures in sport. Because we don't get a lot of gold medals in weightlifting. I mean, we get a lot of.
The German didn't get a gold medal last 30 years, 40 years in plus 105, in plus in heavyweight. German didn't get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We had Weller then.
Rune Weller, yes, it was the last, I think, but not in Olympic Games. He didn't get gold. No.
Well, and there was Mark Huster, Dimas' great rival, but he also did.
Mark Huster was always second with body weight. Same total, but he don't have luck. Mark Huster two times. Yeah.
Good luck you need here.
Yeah. And Steiner's 2008 victory was probably one of the most dramatic and emotional moments in
sport. It was
all
combined, the human interest story,
yeah.
the difficulty with the death of his wife
at
the time, and it was just very emotional. Mm-hmm. And those pictures ran all across the world.
Yeah.
And still are being promoted by the
I tell you some notes or something you will thinking about late. Only one history, one athlete in the history. Did weightlifting without belt, without knee bandage, without nothing. He's like man, he go for the bar. Only Steiner Matthias in the history, because I did this system. First time he came to me in the training, he have belt, he have bandage, and I said, what is this? Please let everything out. Started to walk without anything, work without anything. You don't need this. And you worked, as you see, in the Olympic Games. Nobody did this before in all the our history in weightlifting. Mm-hmm. No athlete did, especially heavyweight.
Yeah.
Without belt, without anything. Mm-hmm. You can check this. Yes. Yes.
Then going from Steiner back to your new junior athlete that you help developing, Meso. Can you talk about what are the? Because Meso will compete tonight. In the 96 kilogram A category, what are your? Yeah, we talked about it for a second earlier. Maybe you should tell the listeners what you told me.
Yes, I saw Misu in this period. Now he is in the best form in his life. Snatch and the clean and jerk together.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's first time this happened. And his technique now changed for better last months. For that, I see he get now the strength and the technique together in same time, in the right time also for the competition. But my opinion, if he doing the competition, working only with himself in snatch, to thinking about his personally record, not thinking about the other athletes to compete with them, then he will success. If he do example, because he is not, his record in snatch is not high. Mm-hmm. For that,
he's
I hope
struggled a little.
That he do his what he can, his possibility in snatch. If he do this, he will get new total, and I think he have chance for medal clean and jerk. Mm-hmm. And if he did new record, personal record in snatch, he also have chance for total.
Yeah, there's always a chance,
yeah.
I think it's hard for, or there's Sean Waxman again. if you hear this.
The crying
baby. Crying.
Waxman. Oh my God.
I hope it doesn't disturb you too much.
Because I see Miso also, he work hard, really. As you see, every day he comes to the training hall, morning, afternoon. But also he has a good coach. His father is a great coach, not normal coach to make. He is working with idea. No athletes in this time working to build his muscles. Care about his muscle, because if you want the result without drugs, you have to work for the muscles to bring the strength for the muscles. Because when you use the bar, snatch, clean and jerk, you use the muscle and you have strong effect in the nerve system, and the athlete be tired. For that you have to build these muscles again to get the recovery for this muscle. Misu work with this system. His father do this with him. If you look for his training, not only snatch and clean and jerk. Yes, you see this.
Yeah.
For that always he's fit and recover fast. Fit and recover fast. Yes.
Yeah. The thing with Meso is he wants to lift. Like, he's a really energetic person. I think it's sometimes hard to hold him back in training, because he wants to go. He wants to go heavy. He just wants to lift a lot of weights, especially in a snatch. So I'm excited to see if he gets tamed in the snatch, gets to tame the snatch. Mm-hmm. How he goes into the clean and jerk.
So he did, I think, 173 in training in the training hall.
Yes,
recently.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this new for him. 73 is new, and he did also 20 here. This thing.
Yeah. I think he missed the jerk on the 20.
Yes.
And with the 73. He took two waves. The first wave he went up, I think he missed 70 or something.
Yes, and he back again.
And then he got the 173.
Yes. This new to him, because before he worked like 60, 65. 70 finish, nothing more. But but now he get many attempts in maximum weight. For that I say he have now maximum strength endurance, that he can work long time in maximum attempt. For that I say it's new case for Misu. For that I hope that he use this chance to bring his result today.
Mm-hmm.
we hope for the best.
Yeah, no, it's going to be very exciting, a very exciting session.
Yeah.
Just a few hours.
We hope that he does the result and we talk after the competition about again.
Yes, I hope so.
Yes. He's delivered in the past. I mean, he came through last year in Anaheim, right?
Yeah, he can deal with pressure situations pretty well. Yeah.
He's a great athlete. He seems like he has a great head, too.
Yes, he has a good...
mentally very strong.
Yes, yes.
Seems like a very nice young man, too.
Yes.
And on top of that, yes.
Yeah.
He is... 2 years he started to be in the international level, mm-hmm. 2 years before, and now he's going. I talked with him from 2-3 days. Miss, you are not more junior. You have to be thinking now that you are senior to fight with them.
Yes.
No time to say I'm a senior.
Mm-hmm.
For that, I think he goes this way now.
Yeah. That's awesome. So before we let you go, I really want to know more about this book. Where can people, or when can people buy it? Meaning, when can I buy this book?
It will be in next time we are talking now with the International Federation, and we'll see if this will be during International Federation or will be during sponsor or myself. I will do and sell after this.
Okay.
We are connected. Just message me when it's out, and then we.
Yes, but I will need your help for some picture, special picture. Yeah. I will take from you.
That okay. Is,
I need your professional work for this.
Okay.
The picture in this book I will take from you.
Put Meso in there. Yeah.
Yes. From Steiner and Meso.
Yeah.
This will be the main picture, and maybe plus other athletes like Kakashvili, like
ooh.
Nico Flat. Yes, that's from also time also.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have a good technique.
Yes.
Sounds good to me, yeah.
Oh, that's super exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yes.
Oh, really?
You are welcome.
It was great.
Thank
I really appreciate
you.
It. Thank
I literally went over and asked if he had like 10 minutes. I think we got you for
11, 12 minutes. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And on that, Dr. Bofa.
We'll sign out again.
Last time we...
All right, now we're starting up. We've got a plate of bony meat here.
Oh, fantastic.
They're all...
No shards.
No shards. Plenty of shards in this meat, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Just back after the... After a lot of sessions.
Shards this morning.
Without an appendix, it should just go right through.
Exactly. I just got rid of the appendix today. So, thank you. Me, JP, Mark, Waxman, and Mike.
Some turds.
Yeah.
They are.
Meat that does look like a turd, but it's surprisingly good.
It's good.
It was good.
It's good turd.
At the least bone of anything I've eaten.
I had a couple bones in
there. A little bit in the turd.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
Just ground up in it.
Yeah, no, just small.
But by this restaurant standards, the least bone you've had in anything, including your rice.
Including my rice.
Yeah. He has bone in his rice.
So. Yeah, I saw that.
So today featured the men's 69. Yeah.
What?
Oh my God.
Oh, dude, it's late.
Gregory. All right.
Get with the program.
It's late.
Oh my God. Gregor, you're fired.
96 kilogram A group and the women's. What do we have?
76.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Gregor doesn't know what he watched.
No.
It was judo, by the way.
It was. I went to the wrong venue. God damn it.
Got a lot of ATG judo footage.
So, but
before throwing people, and Gregor was like, "This is weird."
Yeah.
I thought I was at weightlifting, but I'll just keep shooting.
So before the A group started, I went to the training hall to have a chat with Mart, who was training. He just did a super light session. But then I look over and I hear like kind of heavy bars being dropped in a somewhat empty training hall. And I look over, it's Andre, it's Karapetyan.
Andranik Karapetyan.
Yeah, Andranik Karapetyan. And he's attempting.
In the 81.
Yeah, he
bombed out.
Days,
he bombed out with what? With 170, right?
171.
171. So when I look over, he had 170 on a bar, missed it. And then they were calling me over like, Mister, come, take video for Instagram. I go over, they put 73 on, and he snatched 73. Yeah. One day after bombing out.
Did it when it counted.
Did,
right. The training hall,
yep.
For Instagram,
for the likes.
Did he have straps on?
For the likes?
No, don't ask me.
I watched the video.
Is that classified?
And I don't think he had straps on either.
I don't remember.
But Yeah.
So it's good
he won the Instagram contest.
And nothing's on the line. He can deliver.
Well, to be fair, he snatched 74 of the Olympics in 77. So he can deliver. Just not this meet.
True. Yeah. Not here. Yeah. Not Ashgabat.
Fix that.
Yeah.
But again, like, so he snatched 73. You said he missed 70 going up, right? Like, what's wrong with like a 65 kilo, you know, 165 opener?
Yeah.
Especially if you make it.
Which made a lot of sense.
171 is more. more weight.
That's I guess that's the angle we're missing.
Yeah.
165.
Honestly, the Armenians love opening last. Like that's like one of their things. They love to do that. Like the guy in the 89s who was even if it doesn't really make sense from like a strategy perspective, the Armenians feel like they won the session if they open last.
We showed him.
Yeah, exactly.
We were the last to bomb out. Badass.
Yeah. There's nothing that Armenians love more than to just put like huge numbers up on the board and then just open last and bomb. And then bomb out. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was the training hall.
Yeah, after that.
By the way, I was going to say, I'm standing in front of the Armenian, I guess he's their commentator, but there's not enough room where you guys are sitting. So he's got like a little table set up behind the photo area.
Really?
That's Armenian.
Yeah, yeah. He's like I guess the Armenian state
is
TV.
Is it a bootleg thing or is he invited?
Well, he has an accreditation, so I don't know. But the weird thing is he wears like a headset. And he's recording or somehow broadcasting into his phone. Like his headset's plugged into his phone. I'm not sure if he's like recording an MP3. I'm not sure if he's like basically podcast announcing the session.
Wow. It's all competition.
Or I don't know if he just has like a relatively good Wi-Fi connection. The Wi-Fi there is, you know, sometimes good, sometimes not. I don't know if he somehow has a really good Wi-Fi connection and is streaming to Armenian TV, but he's doing commentary.
Maybe just like IGTV. Like
sometimes good, sometimes not, but always monitored.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Anyway, so he was pretty pissed about Karapetyan the other night.
But, he should have gone and broadcast his training today.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was over there. He was sitting at a table broadcasting it. Yeah, he was there. Yeah. What was weird was that he was commentating the women's 76s, which was bizarre to me because there were no Armenians in it. And I'm not trying to be mean to the women there or whatever, but like in general the Armenians do not really care about women's sessions. From what I've gathered from talking to Armenians in a limited fashion.
Some good Armenian women, though.
No. They care if there's an Armenian.
Oh,
but I'm saying
not if there's not.
The Armenians don't really care about women's weightlifting unless there's an Armenian in the session. And in general, that's true about men, too. But they do care about men's weightlifting at a very high level, even if there's no Armenian.
Okay.
But I thought it was bizarre that he was commenting the 76s. But maybe he had nothing to do because, let's be honest, like...
Well, it's Turkmenistan.
I mean, I don't know what other options he had for where to go, but...
The mall,
yeah.
I think it's a Kentucky Fried Chicken down the block.
With the Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
I don't know. There was one in my airport in Dubai, so...
Well, Dubai is different than Turkmenistan.
Yeah, Popeye's Turkey.
I mean,
I love that. It's not even good, bad chicken.
I don't know if this is relevant for the podcast.
It is.
No, this is like completely off topic from weightlifting. But speaking of something like KFC, it's amazing actually how many foreign companies can't operate in Turkmenistan. Like DHL, their website is blocked here. And
they don't want anybody shipping themselves out of.
Well, no. I'm actually not so sure how. I don't know what the rules are for them traveling. But in 2005, they got rid of international couriers, and you literally, if you wanted to mail something to Turkmenistan, not possible.
No.
And keep in mind, DHL operates in North Korea. You can send something to like Pyongyang DHL. No, it's really expensive.
You can send her a consolation prize after she walks.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We'll do a new medal ceremony and she'll get a gold or something. But like, I don't know. I just thought that was bizarre that you could send something to North Korea but you couldn't send it to Turkmenistan. No, actually, recently they did. DHL got their license back after being banned for 13 years. They got it back like a month or two ago. But yeah, I really doubt something like KFC would be here. But you know, Coca-Cola is everywhere. There's literally not. I don't know. Maybe I haven't been to North Korea, so I'm not sure if it's there. But
bone.
Another bone. Bapazine bones. All right. Sorry for the interlude. Back to weightlifting. Dude, what about that Tian Tao 236 clean?
Talk about looking this bone out.
That was the best clean I've ever seen.
Astonishing. It almost overshadowed. I mean, Marathi's victory is astonishing, but that 236 by Tian Tao.
I mean, what can you clean? Everything. 250?
I mean, I would guess that that is a PR clean.
I would think
that. No, it doesn't look like
it. No, no.
It
might be. Or I think I'm not. There's a difference between max and PR, right? So I actually do think it's a PR clean.
You've certainly never seen
because what would be his reason for trying, like, the Chinese are relatively smart. What would be his reason for trying, like, 240 in training? You know, why? And also, here's the other thing. You have to remember, he's been lifting as an 85 for years. I mean, what would be his reason for being like, hey, I'm going to do 240 just for fun.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason for it, so I think we did see a PR clean. I'm gonna double check with him, and I'll let the podcast know.
Get him on WeChat.
Yeah, I have him on WeChat. Yeah, I'll write to him on WeChat.
I mean, that was one of the. I can't think of a better clean than I've ever seen. Just clean.
No. Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen some big ones. Like I've seen like Ilya do 233 and 94. I mean, you know, there's
nothing looks that good.
No, of course. Like Kakashvili's doing like 235 at 90.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But this was just like, I mean, really, I don't know that there was a difference between his opener, his second, and his third. Everyone was just straight up, and then he whips his elbows around.
Oh, okay.
And he's so upright. Like, nothing folds him. He doesn't round out.
I'm not sure exactly what his max is, but here's what's interesting. In the training hall, he squatted 245, which I actually posted on the Hooker story earlier today, even though he did it like 5 days ago or something. But it's worth noting, he actually missed 265. He went 245, tried 265, and missed the squat. Front squat. He also back squatted 295 in the training hall, super easy, and stopped after that. But I did think it was interesting that he missed a front squat, because he doesn't seem like the type of guy that is capable of missing a squat.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like Toshiki miss a clean, I would be like, wait, what? So, yeah. I don't think he could clean 250, to be honest. I mean, it would be cool to see him try, but I don't think he could. Are we pausing the podcast?
No, we're still recording.
We're still podcasting.
Mike, rookie coach, signed his call, 1:27. They put in a late change on
Iraqi or Iran?
Iranian. He was
okay.
On his card at 32, and he started writing weight, and he took his pen off, and then he put his pen back on to sign it, and that was at 1:28.
Whoa.
It's not valid until he signs.
Until it's signed.
All he has to do is scribble, but he did never.
But he didn't put his pen back on, and he was thinking he was talking to the so as a result,
to go up to the world record,
he should have stayed in his team.
What was the weight on the bar at that moment?
He went up 1 kilo. He went 126 to 226.
So, as a non-ITO, I can't say. So they gave him a late change.
Well, remember last year at the World.
The only reason why he had is
They gave him the record.
Why is this guy getting
the record? You get thrown out.
I would. And rightfully so.
Right.
Also,
we were looking at smart.
Somebody screenshot it. Not part of the game. Oh, okay.
He's very
genius. Right here. Because it was a straight.
Stayed on his clock, lifted and missed. The Chinese guy could have come out and gone down the kilo, lifted and won.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but the more obvious fuck up was the Tian Tao passing. He clearly double dipped.
Oh, yes, on his second attempt.
Yeah.
That's right. Dude, that was.
That was on camera.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And
that was on camera.
Yeah.
And I think you guys even just luckily picked a head on shot.
Robert's excellent producer.
I saw that as a head on shot, and we were like, oh, he
doubled it. Mark, we're listening to your talkback, and you'll clearly remember I said I need the head on shot for that replay department. Immediately.
Good job. That was kind of blazing. Man.
I don't know. Complete stroke of luck.
By the way, Tian Tao's update on WeChat after. Just like, thank you all. I keep trying. It's silver. Silver again, basically, is what he said.
He looked great, though.
Yeah. He keeps getting silver. I don't know if you know his competition history, but he's a silver medal guy.
Right.
Well, according to his list, nothing changed in that tonight, other than he would have had the chance to go last.
Yeah. If they would have disallowed your audience,
they would have said you lifted that up. Doesn't matter. But I only say because just in case anybody comes up. Because the immediate comparison is the people who attacked me.
Took away a little bit.
And then she missed her subsequent lift, which took away her silver, which they then quietly gave back.
Are you becoming
that as bad as the Canadian coach?
Oh, that was terrible. So they signed the wrong card.
I saw it happen, and I didn't report it.
They signed the wrong card.
That was my bad. I felt really badly about that.
Yeah, so number six, the coach was screaming up. And she's on the clock as well, right? So she's like 40 seconds in. Come screaming around the corner, number six, come grabs two, Canada.
Signs it,
hands it in, and gets the weight in. Nothing happens, right?
Yeah.
Gets onto the platform with about 15 seconds to go, he throws the weight in.
That happened twice today then. So it wasn't signing on the card, but the Russians just flat out didn't put in a declaration.
Yeah, they missed it. Yeah.
They knew it.
Yeah.
That's unusual.
And then, same coach did it again. Went to the wrong card.
Put the wrong card on
the Canadians.
And then I think it was either you or the Marshall. No.
Junichi fixed them.
So after that, they gave him the card.
That Marshall table has been
chaos.
Yeah, total chaos.
I'm so glad we put microphones.
Good job.
That's ridiculous.
Anyway, cool. I'm going to grab some too.
All right.
Good show tonight.
Yeah, that was great, man. Thank you. Fantastic. Thanks for having me. Stupid too.
By the way, how did you guys handle the Iranian's name, Amir? And then Amir H.
We had,
I've been going to Sally, who's the stadium announcer, between every session.
Because I was trying to read it.
Hogogi, I think it was. And I'm at the point now where literally I'm just a sieve. Like, if you just say something, it goes right through me. I've already forgotten what happened tonight.
Yeah.
But I'll go to Sally. She'll give me the pronunciation. I'm like, all right, I got it. I go upstairs, I give it to these two, and then I promptly forget.
Yep.
Or as soon as the session starts, I'll still just destroy it as soon as we get on air.
Yeah.
But it was, I read that, I've been sweating about that name.
You do a lot of wag for it. You do a lot of wag for instead of wang.
For who?
Any Chinese where it's an A, wang. A lot of wang.
Jang Wang.
I'm forever ruined by Caddyshack.
It's a lot.
Rod leads the world in lifters that don't look like they should be able to lift.
Yeah.
Ronnie does not look like
don't know how.
Dude, Ronnie, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got that little power belly.
Did little?
It ain't little anymore.
Little. Yeah, yeah. You're talking about little. We were comparing power bellies in the training hall.
And the other one that lifted today.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell?
Yeah. He doesn't look like. You know, even. I mean, I would say he looks a lot more like he should be a lifter than these guys, but he still doesn't look like he's as good as he is as Rostami. Like, Rostami does not look like he can clean and jerk 220. I mean, he looks more athletic than those guys.
Yeah, remember Rostami is a 77?
2010.
Yeah. He looked like every lift. I was like, this is going to end poorly. He's going to snap apart. You're going to have to scrape it. He was doing a stroller thing where he would, like, pop it. Now, he wasn't popping it in and out, but he would just, like, fiddle with it.
Crowd would cheer.
They're going to have to scrape this guy off the platform. And he snatched 65 there. Right? 60 or 65.
I don't know what they do. Well, they don't do any bodybuilding. They can't.
Yeah. You know what was interesting? Rostami, I asked him in Jakarta about his max lifetime back squat. And he said, as a 77, he back squatted 310. And he said he's never done more. He said he got hurt later on and decided that heavy back squats weren't for him.
That was it.
But he said that if he had decided to keep doing heavy back squats, he'd think he'd be back squatting like 340 or something. As a 96.
Oh my god.
I'm looking at some of the results. Maybe should we talk about Meso?
Meso?
Because we talked about.
Meso was coached this morning.
Yeah, it was one of his.
Yeah, first, let's do the name thing though with Meso.
Meso.
But it was Fariz Elbak in the stadium.
Yeah.
He said Fariz Elbak.
Fariz Elbak.
Okay, so he has. If you see, there's also an E and an H in his name. It's like E period H period. So that's like El Hassona. So his dad's, you know, the family name is Hassona. And so basically he, it's just like how the names work in Egypt, really. And Fares, so his name is, if you were to choose two names, his name would be Fares Hassona.
So he chooses one of each?
No. His name would be Fares Hassona. But Meso is his nickname. You know, it's kind of like a name that doesn't really make sense. Like, and I asked him a couple about this before. So Meso is not like a standard nickname for Fares. It's not like Bill for William or something like that. It's just the name that he's always been called. And by the way, it's actually not Meso. I've called him Meso for years, but it is Miso, like miso soup, even though it's spelled Meso. But so he's been called that for years, and that's why he goes by that. But the thing is that, you know, we're used to people with two names. But if you look at, like, for instance, a lot of the Latino lifters, or I guess Spanish speaking, a lot of the South American, Central American countries, they have four names because they have both of their parents' names, but they go by their first name and their first last name. So it's just other countries have different names.
So all that comes to Miso being a nickname.
Yes. But his name, if he had to choose two names, it would be Fares Hassona.
Yeah.
All right. So back to his lifting?
Yes.
Maybe?
If you must.
So as expected, his snatches, I mean, did we expect it? I don't know.
I thought he would do more.
Yeah.
I mean, one of his coaches this morning said everything was coming together and he just needed to.
I thought they would go like more conservative with the snatches.
70 was a big opener, right?
71.
71 and then miss 74
just do 73
twice.
73 in the training hall is a PR?
Yeah. Yeah.
Were they meeting with the army?
No, it's not a PR because he snatched. Didn't he snatch 75?
So how do we do this again?
No, he snatched 75.
I think that.
It's not a PR, but it's close to it.
I think he didn't.
Why not also? This morning is close to
it. No. They showed me a video of 75. Okay. In when he was training in Uzbekistan.
I saw that too. It was a miss. It was big time.
I'm pretty sure he made it.
Yeah. In any event, but it is a heavy opener. If he's done 73 or 75,
okay, yeah.
71. When the goal this morning was focus on yourself, stay alive in the snatch.
Stay alive in the snatch and do good in the clean drill.
Yeah.
I mean, he was lucky he got with 217. He still got a bronze medal out of it, but it's well below his capabilities at this point. Yeah, he was coming here for, what did he tell you, Ned, for 25 or something? 225?
I mean, his goal, even though it's not really the record anymore, but his goal was always to beat Ilya's 226, 94 kilo Asian junior record. That was the old Asian junior record, was Ilya with 226.
You make the fucking Olympics.
Well, there's no such thing as Olympic teams anymore, but... Yeah. I mean, and he did make the Olympics.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying this one.
No, it's not going to matter for him. He's going to make it. But anyway, so basically he, yeah. I mean, he just didn't lift that well. What's weird about him, his lift tonight was he just looked nervous in like the jerk recovery. Like it's almost like he forgot how to recover from a jerk, but because he cleaned his last one super easy, like no problems at all. And
the earlier ones. First he cleans up a little heavy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he just looked nervous to me. Which is weird, because you know he didn't have a great competition at Asian Games either, and I mean he did have a good competition at Junior Worlds, but you know all the pressure was off. So the last time I really saw Meso make like a big pressure lift, I would say, would be the 220 at Worlds last year, which was a huge lift for him at the time. It was a big PR.
It still is his best, right?
No. He made 221 at Ergench in Asian Juniors in April, which Gregor went to on behalf of.
I missed that. I did not have that.
Yeah.
What a great trip that was.
Yeah, Gregor insisted on going to Ergen to Uzbekistan. And so I agreed to send him there, which was nice of me.
Thank you, Master. Thank you.
You're welcome, really. I mean, Ergen is a very... It's
tourism-friendly city.
No, because there is no. I mean, Tashkent would be the Ashgabat of Uzbekistan, but Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan have very some different similarities, but are also very extremely different.
Yeah.
But no, Ergench is just like a relatively small town, kind of isolated. It's actually near the Turkmenistan border. But yeah, he had a great time.
It was fantastic.
It was funny too. Was like I talked to a bunch of people from Uzbekistan, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm sending Gregor to Ergench. What do you think of it? Like I talked to Bagaliev. I was like, hey, like what do you think of Ergench? And he's like, I've never been there.
Yeah, nobody
like,
that talked to
like
him.
No one goes. What are you talking about? I haven't been there. Why would you go there?
It was rough. It
actually.
Was
rough.
He's shaking his head. I mean,
there was, again.
There was, no bone shards.
Yeah, that's true. That's
yeah, more go. Bone shards. Yeah. Better
for it.
Actually, there is a nice town south of Ergench. It's like a big like. It's kind of got like a lot of old. Like ruins. I don't know if they're ruins or just like old, really, really old stuff. You say Columbus?
Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, it's similar to Columbus, Ohio in a lot of ways. Yeah. Columbus was the one who discovered Ergench, actually. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah.
Anybody else in the 96s you want to talk about? I briefly ran into Bodhi afterwards. He told me he was like at 91.
He had the meat of his life.
He weighed in 91.
Why did he tape his fucking shin?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. He played on the pliers like a fucking horror movie.
Every attempt to do it, cleaning all over the bar.
And it's not like he didn't know.
Yeah,
he cleaned
exactly.
It four times after he lifted.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Bad TCN.
Yeah, it was.
But it's like because everybody got sick in the athletes' village, or a lot of people are sick by now,
yeah.
And everybody is having trouble like with diarrhea and stuff. So.
Did he get sick as well?
He got sick as well.
That's why he was 91.
He was 91.
Wow.
He didn't look in there.
He looked solid.
In training, you should be running around like at 100 or something.
You know, if he'd done this at the Commonwealth Games, he would have won.
No.
Wouldn't have kicked his bag.
But he was. I've never heard of him opening that big. We were looking at each other.
Yeah.
A bit.
It seemed like after a second, after he made a second, it seemed like he already checked out. Like he was like, holy shit.
Dude, yeah, and then, honestly, I think all of us were like, yeah, you should check out. That's it. It looked like.
I didn't think he should have celebrated that much. Just
yeah.
Because you get the like the adrenaline dump after celebrating that much, and like
he was done after the second.
That,
like
that's
you know,
what
he,
I meant,
he
yeah.
took a good crack at the 212 though. I mean, are we talking about snatch or clean?
What about the snatch?
I'm talking about
his snatch.
He celebrated a lot after the 208.
Yeah.
When he made 208, he celebrated too much.
No, the snatch.
Because
he clocked
his
third.
I was saying, wow, that's a really good Canadian.
Well, yeah, what's impressive about Bodhi is that he keeps getting better. I would say, like, gradually. Like, there's some people who get better and then pause for a while, and then they make, like, a jump. Like, for instance, like someone like CJ. I mean, CJ clean and jerked 185 as a 69 a year and a half ago, and here he clean and jerked 187. Is it good? Yeah, it's great. I mean, as a 73, it's great, but it's like he's not making like he's making progress more so in his snatch than his clean and jerk lately. And you know, someone like Bodhi though, it's like every like 6 months he's like a bit better. And he trains in his garage.
He was 10 kilos up in the snatch from last year. So, and then you can't not mention Onika.
Oh my God, those cleans. What in the world? That, by the way, that guy won Europeans with 210.
What did he try, 227?
226, I think. Somewhere he there, he cleaned it. The jerk really wasn't even.
None of us, we were like,
no, he's another guy that doesn't look like he should be doing this.
No. Or looks like he should be like a 109 or something.
Really,
right?
His legs are
we talking about Jonathan?
Onika.
Where did that come from?
You know, first of all, he's been getting a lot better over the last couple of years, and he looked great. He won Europeans.
Yep.
I mean,
still Europeans without Russia, though, right?
Yeah. But he's a nightmare to shoot. People like him are a nightmare to take
because they go so fast.
They go so fast. You have to turn on your cameras, get the focus point ready, and by the time the bar's already at his knees or something. It's like, come on, work with me.
I think I have a video of the bar like at his knees.
Yeah, Hideyuki messed up his first two clean and jerks. First two snatches.
Hideyuki, come on.
Yeah, Hideyuki, I fired him.
You fired just lame?
Yeah.
Immediately rehired.
I'm sure you were
Now you take video and I don't get you gone.
Well, to be fair to Hideyuki, yesterday he was like, hey, I was basically like, you know, I'm probably going to go shopping tomorrow. Do you want anything for the mall? And he was like, yeah, I want juice. I'm like, okay. And then I wrote to him today. I'm like, hey, wait, you know, can you specify which type of juice? He's like, well, I prefer orange, but I'd really take any sort of fruit juice. I was like, okay. So we went to the mall, and we immediately found a place that does fresh squeezed orange juice. So we got him a double shot of fresh squeezed orange juice. Had to buy a container for it because they didn't have to-go containers. So I had to go into the supermarket, buy a container, have them wash it out, bring it over. So meanwhile, at the official exchange rate, I was about $30 deep into this orange juice. But you know,
most expensive orange juice ever.
It was worth it. It was worth it for him to, you know, be a happy Hideyuki. You know,
be alive.
And I also got him some normal juice as well. Yeah. No, Onika, I actually, I'm not really that surprised because I saw him at Europeans and of how good he looked there. And also, you know, he's been getting better and better and better. But yeah, no, compared to like 3 years ago, this is like a world of difference. And
he was not on any of our radar, certainly not on my radar.
Yeah.
And the Romanians, I don't know, sometimes they look aggressive on paper and then.
Yeah.
It's an Armenian day.
Yeah. So they Sincryon it when he wasn't at Rio. Because Sincryon used to sometimes make his, like, he used to sometimes have some terrible clean and jerk days.
The one that was on, like, Rat? Who the hell was that guy that got caught in the Olympics? Like, Strychnine.
No. That was Izad Artikov in the 69.
Right, thank you. For a second, I thought I was like completely making that up.
Yeah, no. Right. That was the one who got. That was the French who did that to him. You know that, right?
What?
Yeah, no. That was the French.
The French slipped him strychnine.
The French slipped that to him. Yes. Yeah. It's IOC conspiracy.
All right, okay. Then. Women's 76. Any.
That was another listen again. Yeah, it was all
can I just do though fair honorable mention to Jason Bonick?
Wow, yeah, 96 or something?
Yeah, and what is he like, 30 what?
38. Yeah.
Born in 81.
Yeah.
That was pretty much
37 according to And then he made five lifts.
Well, it's not possible for him to be 38 if he was born in 81.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Whatever.
It's not weightlifting years. It's also actual
also
years.
Also real years.
Yeah.
Dog years.
Yeah.
But still, and Dimas afterward was like, we were just chatting with him. He was really impressed.
And he had a terrible training camp.
did he?
Don Bonick, did he really? Mm-hmm. Why? In what sense?
He sucked.
No, just bad.
All right. Waxman with the insight.
Well, yeah.
That's what I've been told. I wasn't there myself.
But like, just didn't train well.
Just didn't
like,
train well.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's actually his first international meet, though. I mean,
he hasn't been in the sport very long.
Yeah. He has been getting better and better, though. Like, I've watched him over the last couple of years, and, you know, he was like 80, 84, 87, 90, and then, you know, now he's making 96 at 96. Pretty good.
What did he attempt? Oh, he missed a snatch, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He made like 56, right, or 57?
I'm not sure. I wasn't there for it, but I just saw the USA Weightlifting Instagram. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Women 76.
Yep.
Rim was a lot.
I mean, the highlight was Nacy, I would say. Having an amazing competition.
Give it to Lady, though. I mean, she did not have a good meet, but she put herself in a position to fucking win.
So do we agree, or do we think, that they messed up on Rim's last attempt? They should have gone 52.
100%.
No. Listen, 50.
Bullshit.
1 kilo.
You're wrong.
1 kilo.
You're wrong. You made the right call. 20.
You think that she could have made 152?
Yes, I do.
1 kilo makes a difference.
It doesn't matter. You make the right call. That wasn't the right call.
3 gold medals.
Bullshit. Take 3. World champion.
That's what they were thinking.
World champion.
I listened to them. What were they thinking? I understood.
They wanted.
Yeah.
Mark and I know Korean. Let's listen to what he heard.
Yes. Facial features. They were like, all gold. We're going for this. That's what they said. All
so arrogant. It's so wrong.
That's what it looked like. I swear.
You know, her jerk didn't look great on the 50.
I don't think she could have made it.
And I don't think that she had another 50 plus jerk in her. Even though the clean looked great. The clean, I mean, it was like, you know, it was a little pause squat, but like, she stood up with, like, she wasn't taxed after that clean, but.
She has a leg swing.
Again, her warm ups, I've never seen anything like it.
How so?
The time period between her warm ups, again, barely 30 seconds at times. Boom, 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 snatch and clean and jerk, same way.
Did she nap in between snatch and clean and jerk? Because Amyeon Chol loves to nap in between snatch and clean and jerk.
It's funny to say that the Chinese girl was literally knocked out.
Yeah,
at
one
point, they had to yell at her to wake up.
Yeah.
Seriously, her head was completely turned to the side and she was out.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was right in the meat of heat of the competition. And I'm going,
I don't know how people do that.
And she just went like this and like, oh, here I go.
What about the Mexican girl? Her last warm-up was what?
130.
130.
And opened at
32.
32.
Yeah,
32. Yeah. We were saying on air, like, what's the deal with that?
I don't know.
I mean, essentially, she took 4 attempts at 95% and above.
So, and that's.
So she ended up making 37, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. After that was a tough clean, right? And then,
yeah. I was surprised she made it. Actually,
the Mexican team is known as good clean jerkers, though, both the men and women.
Yeah, but I'd be like, you know, just because it was a success, like when I coach at a meet,
I know.
I go back after the meet and I kind of evaluate my performance. Like, did I make the right calls? Even if it was successful, if it wasn't the right call, then, you know, that's not something that's repeatable, right? Because sometimes if you make the wrong call and it's right, it doesn't mean it's the right call.
Yeah.
So I've seen a lot of these, you know, the athletes saving the ass of the coach. And the other way, you know, where the coach is costing the athlete. Like, I don't get it. I don't.
There's been a lot of coaching mistakes. Not even like coaching mistakes, just like
bad calls.
Bad calls. I don't know. Bad calls, I think, are pretty common at Worlds, but just like fuck ups at the Marshall table and mistakes that have cost athletes stuff.
If you
a lot of Professor Chaos is in there.
Yeah, if you follow up with the Koreans, ask them.
Yeah.
53 was, look, we're going gold across the board.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the other reason could be.
I already know what they're going to say. And honestly, I don't think I would want to even ask them. Because
they're not going to admit they made a mistake.
No, the thing is like, they're not going to want to recap a meet that wasn't a success. If they'd made it, then I would ask. But they're going to be in a bad mood about it. And it's not worth it. Especially...
Rim looked like... She was miserable on the podium. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, but the other thing, too, she was right there. I mean, it's just like, she had the lift just about done.
She's great.
Yeah.
And it just came unglued there in the last second. I mean, that's that little hiccup cost her a World Championship. So I mean,
you know, her jerk recovery has never really been fantastic. So it's kind of, it was kind of like Meso's jerk recovery. It just like was looking messy. You know, just kind of doing the tap dance thing around the platform. Like, how are you going to stabilize 100% overhead when you're tap dancing?
You know, at one point, she had one foot, her front foot off the ground, and she still had it stabilized. She
didn't use it. Her front foot pushed out on her. She pushed it like it slid a little
I mean, I did not think the Chinese was going to make that last clean, though. When she was coming out for 52, dude, I actually said to the person next to me, like, she's not going to make
it
clean.
It was a power clean. I mean, she wrote it down, but she caught it above parallel.
Well, first of all, she's got an amazing amount of power, especially for what she looks like.
Yeah.
She turned it on in that last one.
But yeah, no, the Chinese actually are really good at that. They're good at making third attempts that, like, they need. There's some countries that when they come out for third attempts, they need. I'm like, well, they're not making that. Like Armenia or whatever. But
I mean, the vast majority of athletes in this session, not vast, but the majority did not make third attempts. Out of the B groups, nobody made a third attempt. So, yeah.
It's true for a lot of sessions, though.
Yeah.
A lot of missed third.
I think you said clean and jerk third attempt, the make percentage is like 11% or something. Just all across the board. If you look at competitors.
Not all. No. That was one. No. I think it was
for Worlds? Or?
I looked at Bodie.
Oh, okay.
In particular, and it was not a good hit rate.
We're talking about Worlds?
For the whatever dad said.
Okay, whatever. AO3.
Right.
Fuck you.
No group Spartakiad.
Yeah. Spartakiad won. The one that you came to.
The one that I, man, commentated at.
Yeah, you guys did 2 days, like, on marathon.
Oh, my God. And we were sleeping in what sort of house it was.
Wait, was it really a marathon, though? It was, like, 6 sessions. It wasn't anything crazy compared
to this.
It
wasn't too bad.
And you weren't doing every session.
I don't think so. No. Yeah. I think we did.
And you guys came. Do you remember you came because CJ Cummings originally registered?
Yep. And you know who didn't show up?
CJ Cummings.
CJ Cummings.
Yeah. Actually, a bunch of people registered for that and then didn't show up, which is one of the reasons
Jenny Arthur supposed to be there?
Jenny Arthur was there and lifted and set an unofficial American record.
Yes. Yeah. I remember now.
Yeah.
Now I recall.
Yeah. Crystal clear memory. Actually, Jared Fleming was supposed to be there too, but then he got injured at 2015 Nationals and then got injured again at 2015 Worlds. So, yeah. So anyway, but Spartakiad. He's doing analysis right now.
No.
JP is looking at it. He's like, okay, wait. It's actually 12%.
The other things we should mention, this has already been going for like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And we have this morning's like 20 minutes.
Oh, God. These
are growing.
Getting way too long.
That's it. We're cutting it off right now.
All right.
I need more food. I need more
bone. We need to do Joe Rogan style.
I need more bone.
Let's do 3 hours Joe Rogan style. Yeah.
And when he... Do you listen to Rogan at all?
We'll get Gregor to smoke weed on the podcast.
I listen to some of his guests. And sometimes, like, I'm astonished that they can keep it interesting for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, it sort of fades.
Depends on the guests I'm listening to. Bill
Burr's but his good guests, like, it's astonishing. Anyway, we're not...
Hold on a second.
We're interesting.
We got to talk about Gregor and his podcast listening. I don't know if you guys know this, but Gregor, first of all, I mean, I don't know what else he listens to other than Bill Burr. He loves Bill Burr, but that's not what's important.
He listens
to his podcast at like 2.5x.
Yeah.
Okay? And I there have been times where I've stayed in like, you know, lots of times where I stay in hotel rooms with Gregor.
Not many times, yeah.
He'll have the podcast on. I'll be like, Gregor, what sort of chipmunks are you listening to?
And like, I mean, the day only has 24 hours and they have more podcasts to listen to.
And keep in mind that Gregor is not a native English speaker, and I'm a native English speaker, and I can barely understand this. And what's funny is that Gregor's like, he's kind of like this drug addict who's getting, he's like, for a little while I was listening at like 1.25, just to speed it up a bit. And he's like,
a few years ago you told me 1.5.
And then he's like, I got used to that. I went like 1.5. And he's like, I'm Gregor. He's built up a drug tolerance. And now,
it's like my caffeine.
And now he's at like 2.5, and soon he's going to be like, 10x. He'll be like, oh yeah, I listened to that hour podcast in a couple minutes.
He's probably sitting here. He's probably like, why is everyone speaking so slow?
Jesus Christ.
Get to the point.
Gregor's already like 20 minutes ahead of the conversation. He can see where it's going.
Yeah. Yeah, he can only understand chipmunks at this point. Cartoon chipmunks. Yeah.
All right, end with that.
That's it.
Good night, everybody.
Well done.